chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. This is our 19th study in Proverbs. The title of this study is Serious Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the last study we considered the deep wisdom of Proverbs, particularly how and what the wisdom of Proverbs reveals about God. And Proverbs is a very practical book, and we've noted that, and we've studied numerous aspects of that practical wisdom as we've been going through this study. But it's also a deeper book than that. And even if we just look at our verse here, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. All right, so this proverb is really a classic proverb. It's got a two-line structure. It's what's called an antithetical parallelism. So one line makes a statement. The second line gives some sort of a contrast that also in some way enhances the first line. That's a very classic proverb structure in Proverbs. All right, so this wisdom saying on the face of it here in Proverbs 16:25 is about presumption. It's about trusting to one's own untaught and unexamined thinking. Proverbs teaches us that our thinking has to be corrected. It has to be instructed. So trusting in one's own thinking is folly, of course. And it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. So it's like the proverb in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. All right, but notice when you look at Proverbs 16:25, notice that consequence at the end of the verse. It tells us that the end thereof are the ways of death. Death. So if Proverbs were merely concerned about practical wisdom in life, like if this was just a collection that teaching us just sort of the wisdom of living well in this life and on this earth, if that was all that it was really concerned about, then the consequences of going the way of folly here would result in business failure. It would result in poverty. It would result in loss of opportunity. It would result in strained or broken relationships. It would result in personal regress rather than progress. And you can find wisdom sayings throughout Proverbs that essentially say those things. So the consequence of going one's own way, if this were just a practical sort of book, the consequence of going one's own way would be those sort of things. But the consequence given here is death. So the wisdom in Proverbs is deeper than merely success at life or how to make good choices, so to speak. So in this study, we consider what this deep, serious wisdom of Proverbs teaches about mankind, about human beings. So we looked in the last study what it teaches about God. Now let's see what Proverbs reveals to us about ourselves and about all other human beings. So first of all, we want to notice that Proverbs has a spiritual and moral concern about this book. So one of the reasons that we read Proverbs as a practical book is because it is written to human beings and it addresses various aspects of life. Things like speech, how that we use our words, things like money, how that we acquire money, how that we keep money, how that we lose money, how that we spend money. Things like friendships and how that we relate to one another. Family relations like husbands and wives and parents and children and so on. Aspects of business and work. And so Proverbs does address all of those things. But when we read Proverbs more closely, we catch that there is more serious wisdom here than just those surface practical things. All right, so one of the ways that we see that is when we just take a brief survey of the various words that Proverbs uses and the frequency of those words in relation to man. So just a quick rundown of here. The word wicked in Proverbs, in the KJV text, it appears 89 times in the Proverbs. Again, wicked is a moral and a spiritual concern. Like this isn't just an issue of folly in the sense of, well, you know, you could have made a lot better choices and you wouldn't have lost all that money, sort of thing, or, you know, what you did with that money was foolish, or the way that you spoke to your wife was foolish, or something like that. The word wicked, 89 times. The word evil, 50 times. The word abomination, 20 times in the Proverbs. Abomination is the strongest of expression for what God hates. And it's 20 times in the Proverbs. Abomination brings God's judgment. The word sin even appears 7 times in Proverbs. The word righteous or righteousness, 54 times. Just or justice or equity, 28 times. Life, 38 times. Death, 18 times. Dying, 6 times. The grave, twice. Hell, 7 times. And there's even allusions to life after death in the book of Proverbs. So, for instance, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. In other words, there's nothing good beyond the grave for the wicked, for those that are unjust. There's nothing good beyond death for them. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. So again, these are allusions to life after death. How could the wicked's expectation be cut off with the grave, and how could the righteous have hope in their death if there's nothing beyond that? And if Proverbs is concerned only with this life, then those are nonsensical statements. So obviously, Proverbs is concerned about not only this life, but about the life to come. And that's very consistent with wisdom, because even when we're talking about wisdom in practical terms, wisdom is always that takes the long view. Wisdom is never the choice that is merely of the moment. What is going to be best or most convenient or most productive, you know, just right now in this instance. There are abundant references, obviously, to wisdom and folly. So, a close reading of Proverbs reveals a very serious tone to the book of Proverbs beyond that of just good advice or life hacks, as we might call them these days. Well, Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Furthermore, we find that the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, is also synonymous with knowing God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So in the last study, we were talking about how that God is making himself known even through the book of Proverbs, and revealing himself to us as being knowable. And beyond that, inviting us to know Him. So in the book of Proverbs, we are being invited to know God. And that knowledge of God begins with the fear of the Lord. And we talked about the fear of the Lord in an earlier study. And so we're not going to go over all that again. Okay, so this is just sort of a quick survey of seeing how that Proverbs is a book that speaks to men and women. And it's a book that speaks very seriously about issues beyond just that of, again, maybe good advice for life. So we want to consider next the wisdom about man that Proverbs has for us. So in Proverbs, we talked, I mentioned a moment ago how that wisdom and folly, obviously they're all throughout the book of Proverbs. And what we learn in the book of Proverbs is that wisdom is righteousness and folly is sin. It's not just, folly is not just a bad choice. It's not just a mistake. Folly is sin. And the way of wisdom is the wisdom that is above, and it is righteousness. So what Proverbs teaches us about man, first of all, is that man is naturally foolish and therefore naturally sinful. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And this is a good example, again, of a proverb that we look at, and we always hear this proverb somewhere when speaking about families or the raising of children and those sort of things. And it certainly again, the saying that is given us for that purpose. But it also tells us right from the start that when you have a child born to you, they have a heart that's bound up with foolishness. The very same way that your heart was bound up with foolishness when your life began in this world as well. And not just me and not just you and not just our children, but all of mankind since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. So, you know, this is obviously plugging right into that systematic theology that we have talked about in recent times, what the Bible teaches us about man's natural born condition. So in other words, Proverbs is completely consistent with that, teaching us that as well. So being naturally foolish means being naturally sinful. And Proverbs shows us that not only do we start that way, but that we will simply continue that way if left to ourselves. We are bound up with folly from the time that our life begins on this earth, and that folly continues with us. And if left to ourselves, we will love our folly, we will pursue our folly, and we will go further and further and further into hardness and stubbornness and scorning and mockery of God. So several Proverbs speak to this. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So foolishness is our natural condition, and it's our natural inclination. And when we look at some of these verses that speak about, you know, just going our own way, if left to go our own way, then we're going to go in the way of folly. It also helps us to understand passages in the New Testament that speak about things like renewing our minds. Understanding that we have a natural flesh that just has an affinity for foolishness. We have a natural flesh that just has a sort of built-in resistance against God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. In verse 20 of Proverbs 17, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. So these two sayings, verses 4 and verse 20 in Proverbs chapter 17, are verses that speak about that. In other words, in our natural condition, we have an affinity for folly. And so a wicked doer, one that is given to wickedness, gives heed to false lips. In other words, readily believes a lie. In other words, having a natural inclination for folly means that we will receive more of it. And we'll just swallow it up. We'll just continue to bring folly in. And especially when that foolishness justifies us in our own eyes and before other men and women. We love that. That's just our natural condition. So we will listen to false lips, we'll listen to an evil tongue, we have a froward heart that's not finding the good way, falling into mischief, all of that. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9 says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?" So Proverbs is very clear about the state of our soul as we enter into this life and as we continue into this life. And that if we don't receive wisdom, if we're just left to ourselves, we're only going to go further and further and deeper into folly. And we're gonna gladly embrace it. And sometimes we are grieved, and we should be grieved when we speak to others, and maybe those in our family, or maybe it's a neighbor, someone at work, whatever that it might be. And they just have no concern. Just have no concern for the state of their soul. They have no concern for life and death and life after death. And they have no concern for God and for His wisdom. They have no concern for Jesus Christ and the gospel. And it's very grieving to speak to people like that. But we also understand that we ourselves are like that apart from the grace of God. He didn't leave us to ourselves. But if left to ourselves, that's exactly where we are. And generally, that folly will be manifest in a few ways. One way is through religious hypocrisy. People that love to put on religious airs and make themselves appear to be righteous and to receive the praise of men. And that's what we saw in the Pharisees there in the New Testament. Or they go another way, and they go the way of the agnostic and the way of the atheist, and they just deny the existence of God. Or some cases, they just simply go the way of me. Me and I and myself, and that's just all that matters. And it is very grieving, but we do understand why they are that way. And of course, we have been tasked as Christians that we give them the witness. We give them the witness of the gospel, but you know, it is the Holy Spirit that will have to change their hearts and to begin them with the fear of the Lord. We can't implant that fear of the Lord in them so that they begin in the way of wisdom. But it is what is needed to be done. So Proverbs gives us this very clear picture of human beings and our spiritual condition naturally and what that it is. So not only that, but we see something of mankind's dilemma in Proverbs. So wisdom and folly are calling out to every person. And that's the way that Proverbs opens up. And particularly those first 9 chapters, it's just warning after warning after warning. Wisdom is crying out, folly is crying out. Wisdom is crying out, folly is crying out. Choose the way of wisdom. Heed the call of wisdom. Don't go in the way of folly. And it's just time after time after time establishing to us that all around us, wisdom and folly are calling out to us all the time. And probably many times folly seems to have the most volume and the most presence. But nevertheless, so wisdom and folly are calling out to us all the time and trying to entice us and trying to bring us along. And so here's the problem for mankind. Our natures are bent to go the way of folly. In other words, we have a natural disposition to go after folly. And so we can see how dangerous that the situation for men and women in their natural condition, how dangerous the situation is. We have a natural disposition, a natural inclination to go the way of folly. And you know what? Folly is at every turn calling out to us. Folly is seeking to draw us in and draw us away from wisdom and away from righteousness, away from God, and to draw us off in the ways that lead to death, that ultimately end in the grave and judgment. So this is really man's dilemma, is that he is born bound up with folly and having a natural inclination and affinity for it. And folly is all around, calling out and enticing all the time. So let's read some Proverbs on this. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So here the focus is on wisdom crying out. But if you notice how this is framed, wisdom is crying out because we are simple, scorning fools that hate knowledge and refuse wisdom and love folly and the ways of death. That's us naturally. So that is the way that wisdom, the call of wisdom is framed, because that is the natural condition. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them up on the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So here again we have this urging on to wisdom. And again, notice how that it is framed. Don't forget my law. Keep my commandments in your heart. Don't let them forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Trust in the Lord. In other words, lean on him. Lean to his wisdom. Seek his wisdom. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. In other words, again, we see the way that this is framed, that the call of wisdom and the urging of wisdom is to people that are naturally bent toward folly, naturally bent toward foolishness and away from wisdom. Wisdom, we are told, leads to life and peace. So back in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 to 33, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So again, here's man's dilemma presented to us. Naturally foolish, naturally sinful, naturally hating wisdom and refusing wisdom. And the way that men and women want to go naturally is a way that ends in death and destruction. Back in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18 this time. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. So again, you see the way that this call of wisdom is framed. It's to lay hold. It's to acquire. It's to seek after. It's to get and to find. And that's not the way that the calls of folly are framed. The calls of folly are simply framed as come on and here's all the benefits that you're going to receive. Let's go lay in wait. Let's go rob from people and enjoy the spoil, and we'll divide it amongst ourselves. Not this idea of needing to refuse and forsake this way that leads to death. And what we have here in the call to wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 3, now verses 25 to 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So overwhelmingly, what we're told here is that the ways of wisdom are the ways of life and peace. That's where the way of wisdom leads. Of course, again, the dilemma, the problem for mankind is being born bound up with folly. And folly leads to death. So let's look at some of these verses. Back to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 31 this time. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as the whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. We talked about, as we encountered this in Psalms a number of times, this what you might call poetic justice. But really it's a wisdom judgment. In other words, those that are bound up in folly refuse the wisdom, refuse the reproofs of wisdom, and they'll go their own way. And in their own way, they'll be filled with their own devices, and it will be to their own destruction. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 to 22. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. All right, so a few times we've seen reference to the froward. Froward is sort of the opposite of toward. So instead of being toward wisdom and toward God and toward his fear, they're froward. They are away. They're bent away. As it said, they're leaving the paths of life and so on. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. So very clearly, Proverbs teaches us what sometimes is referred to as the two ways. And one of the thematic elements of Proverbs is that of a road, a way, or a path. And obviously that's metaphoric for life, and we use it that way. Sometimes we'll talk about our journey. My journey's had many twists and turns, or many valleys and mountains, you know, the road that I'm on, and we say those kind of things, and it's very similar. So life is put in a figure that way, and what Proverbs ultimately tells us is that there are only two ways, and it may look very different, but there are only two ways. There is the way of wisdom, that is the way of righteousness, that is the way that leads to life and peace, or there's the way of folly, the way of sin, and the way that leads to death. And it doesn't matter how pretty that you look on the way of folly, it leads to death and condemnation. So human beings are naturally born into the world bound up with folly. The natural inclination and the natural bent of the human heart is away from God and away from wisdom and toward folly. The end of folly is condemnation and death. So remember this in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. For the upright shall dwell in the land. Dwelling in the land. This is covenantal reference. We've seen this sort of thing in the Psalms. It means ultimately what we find when we study out the whole Bible. Dwelling in the land means inheritance in His kingdom. It's a blessing of the new covenant. Inheritance in His kingdom. The upright, we're told, will dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Verse 22, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. And again, this is language we see echoed in many of the Psalms that we have already studied to this point. That is that of judgment, that of condemnation, being rooted out of the land, having no inheritance in Messiah's kingdom. So mankind has a dilemma because folly and wisdom call out, and call out immediately, and all the natural impulses of man are to resist wisdom and to pursue after folly. And so hopefully in the next study we'll look at what Proverbs presents as the answers to mankind's problems and man's needs. So any questions on any of the things here in our study tonight?